leadership in several of these positions would better serve the country. I strongly support the Attorney General in this decision.
Oh my God. It just keeps, depending on your point of view, it just keeps getting worser and worser, or better-er and better-er. One of the two, right? Ah, good evening, truth seekers. It's 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. The Bush crime family's house of cards continues to flutter to the ground, doesn't it? And Bunny Pants continues to insist that his Tejano will not go anywhere. And the craziness of Gonzalez's own lawyer now pleads the Fifth and refuses to testify before the Senate. She says, I'm not going to put my neck on the line for this bandito. Or it's astonishing. Fifth Amendment. Wait a second. Hasn't that been swept away by the... Who gets the Fifth Amendment anymore? Did Padilla, an American citizen, held... Oh, never mind. But Fifth Amendment? My God. And a member of the United States Justice Department is pleading the right to not incriminate herself in a criminal, well, no, not even a criminal investigation yet. It's simply a damn hearing. Isn't that what the Bush crime family, oh, this is madness. Madness. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. For the contortions, but they're falling one after the other. Hubris. Egocentric madness, it always gets them. These people need to go back and start reading Greek playwrights. And then they'll find exactly, they'll find out what's happening to them. If you watch the Sunday talk shows, you know even more Republicans are now calling for Gonzalez's head. Arlen Specter, Chuck Hagel, who used the I word, the I word, not the I man, the I word, impeachment, in an article in Esquire. And even Lindsey Graham wants Lindsey Graham wants some justice out of the Justice Department. Oh, what a concept. Oh, and Valley Girl Dana Perino held her first real press briefing today and tried to fast-talk her way out of Gonzo's ever-changing story and her own... I can't do that. And her own inconsistencies? It was a real juggling act. We'll have sound from three of the fired attorneys and from the White House briefing today. It's just mind-boggling. This thing with Gonzalez's attorney, Monica Goodling... I guess everybody has it. I wonder who Monica Goodling. Well, Monica Goodling has an attorney too. Every attorney has an attorney in this corrupt, filthy pigsty of an administration. Gonzalez's, they call her the liaison with the White House. She will refuse to answer questions. Excuse me, about the firings of these attorneys, and she cited her Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination. What? How could you possibly incriminate yourself, Monica, from telling the truth? She said, quote, I've decided to follow my lawyer's advice and respectfully invoke my constitutional right. She said that, she said it in a statement that she sent to the Senate Judiciary Committee. I'm going to follow my lawyer's advice and plead the Fifth. And my lawyer says his lawyer told him to tell me that that's okay. And his lawyer told that lawyer to tell my lawyer to tell me, and I'm Gonzalez's lawyer, who is used to be Bush's lawyer. See, all the way down the line, everybody, it's okay. And in an interview with NBC News, did you see that with who is the interviewer on NBC tonight? Gonzalez said he was, quote,
really pained, end quote, by Republicans and Democrats who say he, Gonzalez, has lost his credibility. The other guy who interviewed him, it doesn't make any difference. What matters is Gonzalez says, I'm pained. One of the things I've discovered here, one of the reasons I do not like Gonzalez and have not from the very beginning, in the first place, I think he's a cheesy little faker. I don't think he has the know-how to be a state attorney general or a federal attorney general. He's a faker. But it's that smirk. That smirk that's always there. Have you noticed how many people in the Bush crime family smirk? Jesus, God. Gonzalez does. Cheney can't get it off his face. I bet when Cheney's on the commode, he smirks. Rumsfeld was a smirker. Remember Ashcroft? Ashcroft always looked like he was smirking, but he had a bad case of hemorrhoids. They all smirk. Condoleezza smirks. What's with the smirk? Oh, my God. Colin Powell didn't smirk, but he always looked like he was, sucking a lemon right before the cameras came on him. Knowing what he knew, I don't blame him. Now, Ms. Goodling, who is Gonzalez's lawyer, Goodling's statement contradicted Gonzalez's promise that his top aides would testify before Congress voluntarily and under oath. They don't sit down and chat this out? You know, I can just see that conversation. Gonzalez and Cheney saying, well, Monica, you're going to have to take the fall. Libby did it for the Prince of Darkness here. And, Samson, Kyle Samson did it for me in one area. But you're going to have, and Goodling is saying, are you out of your mind? I'm not going to take the fall for anything. I'm not testifying. John Dowd, Goodling's lawyer, this is the part I like. Her lawyer suggests in a letter to Patrick Leahy, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, that the Democrat-led panel has laid what amounts to a perjury trap for his client. Perjury trap. Now, where have I heard that before? Perjury trap, perjury. Oh, that's right! That was in the Clinton thing about his little sexual liaison with Monica and the accusation by the trailer trash out in Arkansas. That's right, a perjury trap. I knew I'd heard it before. Oh, the Senate Judiciary Committee has laid a perjury trap for Ms. Goodling. The attorney, that would be Dowd, said, quote, the potential for legal jeopardy for Ms. Goodling from even her most truthful and accurate testimony under these circumstances is very real. One need look no further than the recent circumstances and proceedings involving Louis Libby. End quote. Really? So let me see here. So if you lie and you're charged with perjury and you're found guilty, that's a perjury trap? You don't have to lie. You can tell the truth. Now, Bill Clinton, you can make the argument couldn't tell the truth because he cheated on his wife. Who's going to admit to that? But these people are raping the United States Constitution. Oh, my God. Patrick Leahy said in response to that gibberish, quote, the American people are left to wonder what conduct is at the base of Mrs. Goodling's concern that she may incriminate herself in connection with criminal charges. Oh, it is criminal charges. If she appears before the committee under oath. And then the Attorney General's attorney's attorney, Dowd, said in a second letter that Leahy's comments, his question, was a good example of why testifying was, quote, perilous for his client. What? The Attorney General's attorney's attorney said, quote, it is the politically charged environment created by the members of the committee that has created the ambiguous and perilous environment in which even innocent witnesses would be well advised not to testify, end quote. So you're suborning, what are you doing? I guess that's not suborning perjury, but I mean, you're advising people to place themselves in contempt of Congress? Isn't there some law against that? I don't know, maybe there isn't. Oh, meanwhile, Gonzalez, today he was in Denver. He was leading a roundtable discussion on curbing child sex abuse. Yeah, that makes sense.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-one past the hour. Just a little bit more on this this thing about Gonzalez's lawyer is going to plead the fifth. This is astonishing to me. Chuck Schumer, the Democrat from New York, who is leading the Senate's investigation into the firings, said Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty told him, Schumer, that he, McNulty, was misled by other Justice Department aides before he testified to Schumer's panel on February the 6th. So, what McNulty is trying to do here is prevent himself from being charged with perjury in front of a Senate committee on February 6th. Now, on February 5th, Goodling, the one now who wants to plead the fifth herself, was among those who helped McNulty prepare his testimony. Schumer says McNulty may have given Congress misleading information about the circumstances of the firings. If that's true, it came directly from Goodling, who now has a lawyer who says Goodling, who is Gonzalez's lawyer, is going to plead the fifth. What a rat's nest, huh? Remember what we said last week or the week before? Watergate began as a third-rate burglary. Now, a little more than 2 weeks before McNulty appeared before Schumer's panel, which was February 6th. A little more than 2 weeks before that, Goodling, the lawyer, helped organize the response, I love this, helped organize the response to senators asking whether the firings were politically motivated. In other words, she wanted to get everybody on the same page. She wanted, specifically, she wanted to show that one of the fired prosecutors, Carol Lam of California, the one that put Cunningham, Sparky or Gooky or whatever the hell, Chucky Cunningham in prison and was going after more Republicans, Goodling wanted to show that Carol Lam had been the subject of complaints by members of Congress. Complaints? On January 18th of this year, Goodling sent an email to three Justice Department staffers saying, quote, I hear there's a letter from Feinstein, Dianne Feinstein, on Carol Lam a year or two ago. I need it ASAP. Now, what she was sent were two letters, one from Daryl Issa, Republican in California, from 2005, and 19 other Republican House members, also in 2005, which complained that Carol Lam was too lax in prosecuting criminal illegal immigrants. Well, yeah, that's because she was prosecuting members of Congress like Randy Dukester Cunningham and putting his ass in jail. Oh, it just goes on and on. Now, get this. Goodling also. Now, here's why she's pleading. One of the reasons she's pleading the fifth. She was involved in the April 6th phone call last year between the Justice Department and Senator Pete Domenici, the Republican in New Mexico, who had complained to the Bush administration and Bush about David Iglesias, then the U.S. attorney in Albuquerque. So Domenici and Goodling have this vote. Now she's part of a larger conspiracy. Iglesias had told Congress earlier this month that he didn't believe that it was pressure from Domenici that caused him to be removed from office. He just said, well, you know, the phone calls were made, and I thought they were, and guess what? Guess what, David? This is astonishing. The whole thing is astonishing. What it shows, I realize there are more important things going on, but it shows the depth of the corruption of this filthy administration. And when you have Chuck Hagel now mentioning the I word, now I have to pause for a second. Excuse me. Because right before the program, I got an email here from one of our steady correspondents. She's working with Operation TLC in Pascagoula, Mississippi. You need to go to that website, operationtlc.org. But I get this from Kate. She says, Mike, so sad this week, tired and overwhelmed. The apathy, racism, corporate fascism, and corruption are also blatant. Have to deal with so many elderly and disabled and single parents who aren't even close to getting their lives back. I'm starting to feel what might be considered combat fatigue, waking up in tears in the middle of the night, thinking about how to get this or that person some extra help on limited or no resources, how to get the adult children to pitch in and help their parents. God, we're all so tired, don't you know? And then she writes some more of a more personal nature, but I'm sorry to hear it, Kate. Son of a bitch, I'm sorry to hear it. Go to Operation TLC, gentle listener, will you please? OperationTLC.org. And just see if there's anything you can do. Let's give them something to talk about, babe. A little mystery to figure out.
Psst. You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers, it'll be our secret. Not clashing, not at all.
But see, my went to do a little acting. Now that's for anyone asking. Give me one pass. 26 before the hour. Of course, Gonzalez's biggest crime is not necessarily getting attorneys fired who wouldn't sign on as disciples to the Bush crime family. His biggest crime, of course, was making torture legal for the first time in the history of this republic. It's just astonishing. Just unbelievable. This guy is, he's like Ashcroft. These are evil people. They're not incompetent. They're not bad. They're not nasty. They are evil. They are evil, evil people. And I honestly believe that Republicans, Democrats, believers in Jesus, Muslims, Jews, I don't care what you are. Do you want your government run by evil people? You can't. None of you. I know I don't. I don't mind an incompetent ass once in a while, a Democrat or Republican. But evil? Now, I want you to hear David Iglesias, who was on Meet the Press yesterday. And in this cut, you hear Iglesias explain how intimidated he felt when Pete Domenici called him to ask an illegal question about the investigation of a local Democrat. Now, this is why, the reason we want to play this way, this is why Gonzalez's lawyer is going to take the Fifth Amendment. Because she knows she committed a crime. She knows she was party to a crime with Domenici. Why don't they pull Domenici's ass in as a witness? Oh, that's right. He's a sitting senator. Russert says to Iglesias the following. You wrote an op-ed piece for the Times saying, quote, politics entered my life with two phone calls that I received last fall just before the November elections. One came from State Congresswoman Wilson and the other from Senator Pete Domenici, both Republicans from my state, New Mexico. End quote. Quote, Mrs. Wilson asked me about sealed indictments pertaining to a politically charged corruption case widely reported in the media involving local Democrats. Her question instantly put me on guard. Prosecutors may not legally talk about indictments. So I was evasive. Shortly after speaking to Ms. Wilson, I received a call from Senator Domenici at my home. The senator wanted to know whether I was going to file corruption charges, the cases Ms. Wilson had been asking about, before November. When I told him I didn't think so, he said, "I'm very sorry to hear that." And the line went dead, end quote. So Russert says, did you feel intimidated by those phone calls?
Pressured, leaned on, yes, because of the timeline, because of the fact that they were Congresswoman Wilson was in a tight race at that time. I think she was behind. The local press had given significant coverage of this subsequent corruption matter. I couldn't talk about it to anybody, much less members of Congress.
Had a congressman or a senator ever called you about a case prior to that?
No. I'd received letters identifying the constituent, and I responded to those. Those are typically after the fact. People were unhappy with the sentence. But I'd never gotten any contact regarding a pending matter, much less something that had been widely reported like that.
It is this idea that the Bush crime family, there are no rules for them. No rules. The Constitution, Bush referred to as that goddamn piece of paper. Geneva Conventions don't exist. The first 10 amendments to that goddamn piece of paper that Bush referred to, meaningless. This is Cheney, nothing representing the rule of law makes any sense to Cheney. He squats and defecates all over it. All of it! Nothing means anything to these people. So calling a federal attorney like David Iglesias, yawn, ho-hum, just an afternoon's phone call. Russert then asked fired prosecutor John McKay from the state of Washington about the circumstances of his firing, the alleged voter fraud rationale. Russert says, Mr. McKay, Wednesday you gave an interview and quoted as follows, quote, "In my case, they may have put me on the dismissal list because I wasn't aggressive enough in ensuring that the Republican candidate for governor in Washington was elected. If true, then that's a terrible thing," end quote. Russert says, "It was a very close race for the governorship in your state in 2004. The Democrat won by just a handful of votes. You looked into the case, decided you did not find voter fraud. When you applied for a federal judgeship last year, you were called to the White House for a meeting with Harriet Myers and her deputy, Bill Kelly. You said the very first question that you were asked was in reference to the 2004 governor's election. Did they ask you why you did not go forward with an investigation or with indictments?"
No, they actually asked me why Republicans in the state of Washington would be angry with me. And, of course, all of the actions taken by the federal government, which were not publicly discussed, were well known to my supervisors and those who follow our work in Washington, D.C. So I was a little surprised that they would ask me about that, since our office had carefully reviewed the evidence, and really in the case of the 2004 governor's election here, the lack of evidence. And the decision that I made not to go forward was a really unanimous decision with the Seattle division of the FBI. You know, we expected to be supported by people in Washington, D.C., when we make tough decisions like that. And I think that's a really important problem here, that folks who raised their hand and took the same oath I did to support and defend the Constitution didn't do the same thing we did, which was focus on the evidence and not allow politics into the work that we do in criminal prosecutions.
That, of course, means nothing to the Bush crime family. Politics enters everything, including criminal proceedings. It doesn't make any difference to the Bush crime family. Jesus, God, when we started referring to them as the Bush crime family 4 years ago, I still get emails today. Mike, I thought you were a little bit over the top back then. Mike, when I first started listening to you, the way you'd rant and rave and talk about these sons of bitches, I just thought, well, this, you know, he's trying to be the Michael Savage of the left or some such nonsense. But you know, Mike, I've come to realize you're right! These people are awful. Russert then asked both of these fired prosecutors about their opinion of Gonzalez. Now, this was Sunday. This is Sunday, yesterday, before Torture Boy's own lawyer, Monica Goodling, notifies the world that she's not going to testify to Congress, granting herself Fifth Amendment protection Fifth Amendment protection. This from a corrupt, filthy administration, Justice Department that has done everything in its power to strip the Constitution. Strip it of the 1st, 4th, 5th, 8th, 12th, 14th Amendments. Everything, everything to strip it. No, no self-incrimination a prohibition allowed. We're going to torture you. I'll tell you what they ought to do. Get Miss Goodling in there and waterboard her. You think that'll work? Fifth Amendment my ass, Miss Goodling. Here, open your mouth. Try not to drown. Or drown. Russert said, Mr. McKay, when you look at these cases, the situation you're talking about where there was a close governor's race in the state of Washington, a Democrat won. You looked at it, did not find anything untoward. Mr. Iglesias, investigating the activities of Democrats, did not act as quickly, perhaps, as some Republican office holders wanted him to. In California, Republican congressmen indicted and convicted. Another was under investigation in each of these districts. A highly controversial, perhaps even explosive, political investigation going on. Knowing what you know today, do you have confidence in the leadership and the integrity of the Attorney General?
Right now, I've got serious doubts. I really do.
Does he have the standing to continue in that position?
That's a great question. I think that's something that has to be figured out in the scrum between the Justice Department, the White House, and Capitol Hill.
Mr. McKay, do you have confidence in the leadership and integrity of the current Attorney General?
I think his status is something that's going to have to be decided by the President and the Attorney General. I think that there is, as I said, a cloud over the Justice Department, and that is just going to have to be removed.
Well, I'll tell you, the best way to remove it is to impeach George Bush and Dick Cheney. Get these sons of bitches out of office. Come on, Nancy. Come on, Harry. Put it back on the table. Come on, put it back on the table. This is just going to continue and continue and continue. And my God, when did the Democrats take power? When did the Democrats in the Congress start threatening to use subpoena power? And look what has been revealed. Look what's been revealed. Can you imagine what has gone on for the past 6 years? Covered up, hidden, ignored by these filthy, filthy, filthy Mitch McConnell, Trent Lott Republicans. My God. God, this is another one of those situations that if we held hearings, if the Democrats held hearings for the next 6 years, they wouldn't uncover the rat's nest of filth and fraud and corruption and theft and murder and mayhem that this Bush crime family has perpetrated against the American public and the rest of the world. It's just astonishing.
I've walked and I crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've stepped in the middle of 7 side forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a hard, it's a hard. It's a hard rain that's gonna fall.
I'm obviously disappointed with the outcome of the election.
Actually, I thought we were gonna do fine. Shows what I know. It was a thumping.
Ten before the hour. Another one here from David Iglesias, the fired federal prosecutor in New Mexico. And this is the last one from Sunday's Meet the Press. Russert asks Iglesias what he, Iglesias, would ask Gonzalez if he had him under oath. Now listen up, because this is an excellent summary of the illegal action the Justice Department took in these firings, despite the Bush crime family's what, endless assertions that this was Bush's right to fire anybody he wanted. Nobody is challenging that. Russert says, Mr. Iglesias, if you were on the Senate Judiciary Committee and the Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez, was before you next week, what would you ask him?
I'd want to know if he agrees with the findings of the Congressional Research Service that found that in the past 25 years, out of 468 U.S. attorneys confirmed by the Senate, only 10 left involuntarily, whether or not he regards what happened to us in December to be a break from the past, and if so, is it justified? Of those 10, virtually every one of those was due to misconduct. So in my view, this represents a tremendous departure from historical practice. How does he justify that? That's a question I would want to know.
And to this day, do you believe you were removed for political reasons?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, well, well. In the past 25 years, out of 468 U.S. attorneys confirmed by the Senate, only 10 were removed involuntarily. 10. Only 10 of close to 500 in the last 25 years, and that was for serious misconduct. So all 8 of these fired at once for no good reason certainly seems a tad suspicious, wouldn't you say, Ollie? Eh? And these right-wing devils that infest and rot talk radio keep chanting the same ridiculous song. Well, the president has the right. They serve at the president's pleasure. Well, the president has the right to fire anybody who wants to. Well, they serve at the president's pleasure. They are instructed, stay on message, you little rat bastards, or you will feel the whip too. What do you think Hannity has to do to keep his job? What do you think Hugh Hewitt has to do to keep his? What do you think the rest of these half-witted slugs have to do in order to stay employed? God. So Gonzalez is scheduled to testify, what, in 2 weeks? Now, let's see if we can squeeze one more. Moving from NBC to CBS, Bob Schieffer interviewed Bud Cummings, one of the most distinguished attorneys in Arkansas, who was likely fired to make way for Rove's little inexperienced 30-something boyfriend, Timothy Griffin, whose only claim to fame was that he was a researcher for the Republican Party. Now, someone tell me how justice is served replacing a distinguished federal attorney in Arkansas with a little gopher for Karl Rove. Schieffer says to Bud Cummings, you learned that you were being replaced, frankly, to make room in the U.S. attorney slot for a pal of Karl Rove's. The president appointed you. You served at the president's pleasure. But then suddenly the Justice Department starts talking about these attorneys being removed for poor performance, and that included you. I think they've now come back and reconsidered, saying, well, now you were not one of those removed for poor performance. But what did they do wrong here legally, Mr. Cummins?
Well, what they did is they tried to tell the Senate, when the Senate asked them, we didn't ask them, but the Senate asked them, why did you make these unprecedented decisions regarding the United States attorneys? And they have told the United States Senate that they were trying to improve management in the districts and that there were performance issues. And all of us knew that that wasn't true. And all the evidence since has shown that the whatever went on behind the scenes to arrive at these 8 decisions was probably petty, maybe personal, and probably had some politics involved in it.
Yeah, I would say you're close there, Attorney Cummins. Yeah, petty personal politics sums it up nicely. These people don't care about what Bush refers to as that goddamn piece of paper, the U.S. Constitution. They don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about keeping at least the Justice Department free of the stench of their corruption. They don't care about reducing the United States to the level of being a country that sanctions torture thanks to this pig that is now the Attorney General. They don't care about any of this. So, yeah, I would agree. Petty personal politics. Only, I disagree with the word petty. This is monstrous, monstrous stuff. This is not petty. And they lied to the Senate under oath. But aside from their filthy, tired-ass lies, we know they lied. They lied us into a war! My God! But aside from that, these are outlaws. These are evil people. They have no use for what this country has spent 230 years trying to establish. And they're destroying it. And if Pelosi and Reid don't get their act together and charge these sons of bitches the way the Constitution demands, then we are going to lose it. We are going to lose it. Nothing is stopping these people. Nothing. It's up to the Democrats in the House and the Senate. And if there is any such thing, and I doubt it, as an honorable Republican in the Senate, there's got to be 11 of them, or 9 of them, to join with the Democrats and remove this cancer from the office of the presidency. Cut it out. Excuse me, it's 7 past the hour. Slight frog in my voice has to do with the pollen count here in the Atlanta area. Extremely high is 120 particles per cubic diphthong or whatever, 120. And today it was over 5,000. So, yeah, that's what you're hearing tonight. Apparently I've gotten real susceptible to this crap. Anyway, back to Bud Cummings, the fired prosecutor from Arkansas, being interviewed by Bob Schieffer on Face the Nation yesterday. And this is the last soundbite of this. And then I have discovered here what is probably the bigger reason behind all of these firings, and I'll share that with you in a second. But anyway, Schieffer asks Bud Cummings about the cover-up the Justice Department tried to get Cummings involved in. Gonzalez just doesn't understand the first rule of holes, does he? Which is, if you're in one, stop digging. So Schieffer says to Cummings, let me ask you this. I understand you got a call from the Justice Department suggesting that when you did leave, you ought to keep quiet about it. Tell us about that.
Well, at one point I was quoted in the paper, and there was a call, and the suggestion was that it wasn't in our best interest to continue to have publicity. And frankly, whether it was a threat or not, what I exactly envisioned that they were promising was what we've seen in the last 2 weeks, this document dump of a lot of random memos and things that tend to maybe indicate that one or two U.S. attorneys had some principled issues with the department management. But here's the thing. Among all those documents, there's no evidence of a credible performance review process, as the Attorney General has described and the Deputy Attorney General, and they haven't colored up claims even close to 7 or 8 of us, only a few of us. And this is a 7-game parlay. They have to win all 7 to be telling the truth. They can't say, well, prove up that maybe 1 or 2 of us had some issues that might have merited dismissal. They've got to prove all 7 because that's what they told the Senate.
Oh, yeah. But, Mr. Cummings,
They lied to the Senate.
What did the rule of law morons say about Bill Clinton? It's not the sex, it's the lying. And you know, we're all so pure. It's not the sex, it's a lying. Now, at Bradblog, Brad Friedman's website, this is up. Evidence suggests that the U.S. attorney firings may have been part of a White House scheme to game the 2008 election. Well, duh. For example, you just heard Cummings, the purged, the fired attorney, one of the best in the country, apparently, certainly one of the, a Republican, certainly one of the best in Arkansas, if not the best attorney in Arkansas. But we had a couple of sound bites there, Bud Cummings talking about this, like, yeah, okay, it's this, it's that. Well, he was replaced by Republican operative Tim Griffin, a Karl Rove associate. And at Bradblog, it says, what may have been at the heart of the White House Department of Justice scheme was to strategically place partisan operatives where they might be the most useful during the next presidential election. One such detail revealed itself Tuesday, March 20th, when, excuse me, when Senator Mark Pryor, Democrat of Arkansas, appeared on Hardball to discuss the recent purge of several U.S. attorneys by the Bush administration. Chris Matthews opened the segment by asking Pryor how much he knew about the White House's decision to replace Bud Cummins with one of Karl Rove's associates, a partisan operative named Tim Griffin. Pryor criticized the attorney general for firing Cummins and replacing him with Griffin, who had very little professional experience in Arkansas and had only recently moved there when Cummins was fired in December of 2006. Cummins, on the other hand, who George W. Bush himself had appointed in 2001, had been well-respected, competent, and nonpartisan, despite personally being a Republican. But the bombshell came near the end of the interview. Senator Pryor, told Matthews before going on the air that he had heard a, quote, conspiracy theory, end quote, about why the administration had chosen to replace Cummins with Griffin. And Matthews asked him about it a short time later when they were live. Well, Pryor said, slightly uncomfortable, there's kind of a conspiracy theory about that. Pryor went on to explain, some people have pointed out or said that isn't it strange that here the Bush administration is putting in a highly political U.S. attorney in Hillary Clinton's backyard. Isn't that odd right before the presidential race? End quote. Now, the implication was that if Republicans had a partisan prosecutor in Arkansas, where the Clintons lived while Bill had served as governor during the 80s, he would be able to get back to that old digging up political dirt in time for the 2008 election. Now, Senator Pryor was quick to add that it was just speculation that he'd been hearing from political insiders, but they were political insiders. They weren't geeks like Chris Matthews. Now, in April of 2006, last April, Rove gave a keynote address to the National Lawyers Association, a partisan legal group. They're all right-wing neo-Nazis. They're all Federalist Society Nazi thugs. And McClatchy Newspapers said, quote, he ticked off 11 states that he said could be pivotal in 2008. Bush has appointed new U.S. attorneys in 9 of those 11. Incidentally, or somebody has, Bush, Gonzo, someone. Incidentally, during that same speech, Rove also acknowledged his friend Thor Hearn, who had been both general counsel to the Bush-Cheney 2004 election campaign and also executive director of the Republican front group American Center for Voting Rights, which has engaged in voter suppression efforts via phony propagandistic reports on America's non-existent voter fraud epidemic since 2004, non-existent unless you're a Democrat. The group's website, American Center for Voting Rights, has suddenly disappeared since the U.S. attorney purge scandal has come to light. Gee, I wonder why. In any event, three of the U.S. attorneys Bush has nominated since the 2004 election were, remarkably enough, from the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division. which has been criticized for implementing policies which are uncivil rights, unfairly disadvantage the poor, often minority voters whose political tendencies historically favor Democrats. The Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department has become a cesspool of suppressing civil rights, just like everything this filthy administration does. And Griffin himself, this punk, had allegedly been involved with voter suppression. Griffin, as Greg Pallas has pointed out, was one of the Republican operatives that had thought up a complicated scheme to disenfranchise Americans who did not respond to letters sent to their home addresses. Victims of the scheme, whose votes were thrown away, Greg Pallas reported, included homeless people, African-American soldiers serving overseas who obviously could not respond to mail marked with a do not forward instruction delivered to their home addresses. Now, this little pissant Griffin also played a role in targeting predominantly African-American areas in swing states like Florida. You know, if you haven't paid your utility bills on time for the past year, you can't vote. That's who Bush put in as the federal attorney, and his rotten ass is still sitting there in Arkansas. This little punk, Griffin. Now, at least one Arkansas newspaper has called for Griffin's resignation since this scandal began. And he has said that he would only stay until the administration found a suitable replacement. The Bush crime family, according to Brad Blog, has privately worried that this punk would not be able to muster in Senate confirmation hearings, which he would be required to undergo if he wants to keep his current job. Now, why do you think they put that in the USA Patriot Act, that U.S. attorneys could be fired and replaced by people on an interim basis forever without Senate confirmation? Hello? Do you get it now? Jesus God, I do. These people never give up. This is at bradblog.com. It was guest blogged by Arlen Parsa. Check it out. You're not going to believe this.
I've reminded the Prime Minister, the American people, Mr. Prime Minister, over the past months that it was not always a given that the United States and America would have a close relationship.
Yeah, that's one of your more coherent statements, you half-wit. Well, and by the way, I got it wrong. It takes 66 votes in the Senate to convict after articles of impeachment have been approved by the House. And as Prairie 2 writes, Mike, the Democrats have got to come up with something pretty big in order to get those 66 votes. What is there, 51? So they'd have to come up with 15 more. But Prairie 2 adds, the 23 Republicans up for re-election in the Senate have to be made to feel the heat. Yeah, in 2008, that's right, there are 23 Republicans who are going to face the voters. A lot of them, comparatively speaking, are going to retire. Now, let's move from the ridiculous to the sad, or the funny, I don't know. Dana Perino, the Valley Girl, come Tony Snow replacement. She had a press briefing today. Here we are. Now, we kept waiting for Dana to park. Jesus, I can't even say it. We kept waiting for Dana to pack up her sparkly briefcase and head back to the mall. That's how ridiculous this briefing was today. The fast-talking Valley Girl was no match for the facts at today's briefing. She stumbled around and contradicted herself so frequently that she finally had to admit the irony in her own statements. At least she's willing to do that. The first reporter asked her about Torture Boy's obviously conflicting statements about what meetings he attended and what documents he reviewed regarding these firings. The crack White House reporter said, "Let me ask you about the email that shows the Attorney General in a meeting on November 27th, 10 days before the firings, and then the Attorney General's statements on March 13th.
We never had a discussion about where things stood. I never saw any memos."
Dana, do you find anything inconsistent in that?
The Justice Department, when they gave their statements on Friday night, said that they weren't inconsistent. And my reading of it is that the Attorney General has said, I understand that there's the March 13th piece, but I also looked back on March 14th when he did an interviews back and forth. I think it was with CNN Network, in which he said consistently that he does not recall being involved in deliberations about which U.S. attorneys might be asked to be replaced for the remainder of the term. But he does say that he'd signed off on the final list. And my reading of that meeting was that was the final decision. The decisions had been made, the final plan had been in place, and they were asking the Attorney General for sign-off.
So he lied on March 13th at his press conference, but told the truth to CNN on the 14th? Is that it? Excuse me, but I keep getting confused because his story keeps changing, Dana. But there's nothing inconsistent about it? Like, gag me with a subpoena?
And I just wanted everyone out there listening to know that we did not speed up her speech in any way, shape, or form. Like, she really just talks like that really, really fast, and it's everything on the upswing like that. Yeah, really radical, I'm telling you.
The next reporter tried to get some clarification on Torture Boy's ever-changing recollection. God, I love that word. I love it almost as deep vein thrombosis. But anyway, next reporter tried to get some clarification on Torture Boy's ever-changing recollection of events. The crack White House reporter says, "So Dana, so we should look at his statements to CNN on March 14th as the accurate answer, not the March 13th press conference when he said, quote, we never had a discussion about where things stood?"
I think what he's referring to, I'm going to refer you to Justice Department for exactly what his thinking is, but when he says that he doesn't recall having recollections about having deliberative discussions about the ongoing process over that two-year period, but that he does take responsibility for signing off on the final plan. My recollection is that the Attorney General had said that he did not remember having discussions about deliberations of the ongoing process, but that he had signed off on the final list. I understand that that March 13th press conference, that he might be accused of being imprecise in what he was saying, but I do know that on March 14th, which is just the next morning when he did those interviews, that he did reiterate what I had just told you. So,
are you going to be imprecise at this point in the proceedings?
I think, you're talking about 2 weeks ago. I think that I understand the concern. I understand that people might think that there are inconsistencies, but as I read it, I think that he has been consistent.
Oh, God, where to begin? My recollection is that the Attorney General had said that he did not remember having discussions about deliberations of the ongoing process, but that he had signed off on the final list. Okay, let's pretend that this line of total bat crap is true. That doesn't make him a very competent Attorney General, does it, Dana? If he doesn't remember or even care, why these top prosecutors were being fired but signed off on it anyway? And she says, look, you're talking about 2 weeks ago. Oh, who can remember back that far? We all have Alzheimer's in this White House. Oh, God, 2 weeks ago. That's almost like, history. And if it's history, it's like, maybe it didn't happen.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
There's a time for love and a time for letting
25 before the hour, it's difficult for me to provide the kind of context sometimes that some of these quotes need. And Kathy spends an awful lot of time going through these transcripts and listening to this garbage and coming up with the sound that you hear on the program. And I think maybe just on that last quote from Dana Perino, when she says, I think, look, you're talking about 2 weeks ago. I understand the concern. I understand people might think there are inconsistencies, but as I read it, I think he has been consistent. And you have a different take on that, don't you, Catherine?
Well, yeah, all the Valley Girl jokes aside, I mean, what they're saying, their best good boy story about Gonzo here is that he signed off on an unprecedented sweeping 8 firings of very competent U.S. attorneys without having any knowledge about why they were being fired.
That's
the best defense they can come up with.
That's weird. That's the unbelievable part. But they are so used to... They are so used to getting away with anything and everything because they have had these enabling Republicans in the House and the Senate for 6 years that they don't give a damn. They'll come out and say things like that.
Well, I guess that's part of the troubling thing is, at the best case then, that he ought to resign just out of sheer incompetence. If she's saying, it says Attorney General had said he didn't remember having discussions about deliberations on an ongoing process, but he signed off on the final list. So he signed off on the final list, but he didn't have any recollection of talking about them. And we're talking about a group of 8 people who were fired with a pen stroke, and there had only been 10 in the last 25 years out of nearly 500 appointments. this unprecedented historical occurrence, and Gonzo just, well, I signed off on it, but I haven't been inconsistent because, I never read a memo.
So either way, he's screwed.
Either way, he's either the most incompetent attorney general.
Or worse.
Or he's a criminal.
He's a criminal. But there's no third choice.
I don't see one. I don't see how they can spin that as anything good.
Okay, back to Dana Perino today. Now this is kind of a fun exchange, in this maelstrom of horror and incompetence and murderous inconsistency. Every once in a while, a little bright flower will spring up, and here it is from today: a little exchange between reporter Jennifer and Valley Girl Dana over how generous and accommodating the White House has been in offering up Rove and Myers to chat informally, off the record, not sworn, and with no written record. Now, just for the record, are the people in the reporter says, just for the record, Dana, are the people in the White House who are not negotiating with Congress aware that it is unprecedented for somebody like Karl Rove or somebody who's giving even an interview to have no transcript kept of their closed-door interview except in national security instances?
Look, I don't know all the issues of precedent that go all the way back. I do know that people have meetings all the time, and they have discussions all the time, and there aren't transcripts produced all the time. Let me finish, Jessica, which is that the White House, the Congress does not have oversight over the White House. This is not a hearing. This is not an interrogation.
But
we could have said, we're not going to talk to you at all, but that's not what we did.
That's a form of, you don't see that this is a form of confrontation, refusing to follow practice.
The way I see it is that it's a form of accommodation.
And so the White House is being accommodating by saying, we won't negotiate, take our offer or leave.
We are being accommodating because we could have said, we're not going to talk to you at all. And instead, we've been quite generous and extraordinarily open about what we are willing to provide.
Oh, my God. A closed door, off the record chat with 2 known liars. Karl Rove and Mrs. Myers, or Ms. what's her first name? Harriet, with no written transcript, Nothing. Oh, thanks so much. But you've got nothing to hide, right? I mean, we're being accommodating because, you know, we could have said, go screw yourself. Only we wouldn't say it that way. We would ask Dick Cheney to say it in his inimitable way. You know, he uses the F word. And I don't mean faggot. Oh, my God. So here's the last one before Miss Perina decided the whole press room thing was too grody for her. Oh, I can't take this. Reporter asked about the irony in her continuing to quote a transcript about Gonzalez. While she's claiming that a transcript of Robin Myers would be pointless. Oh, and what is up with all the Kleeglite references? Right? I'm so sick of this. Reporter Jim says, Dana, doesn't the events of last Friday illustrate perfectly why a transcript of what Karl Rove and Harriet Myers' meeting with Congress is necessary? In other words, you have more documents that come out Friday. You have the Attorney General saying something that appears inconsistent. And then you say, ah, but look at the March 14th transcript of CNN. You're referring to a written record. A transcript is proof that there's no dispute about what he said, because there's a transcript.
Jim, I see your point. This is the decision that we have made, is to allow for interviews that would be on the record where people could take notes. And I understand that some people would think that that is not a good idea, and that I understand that the inconsistency of my own statement of referring back to a transcript of March 14th. However, these meetings are not hearings. They are not interrogations. They are not under the Kleeglite, they are meetings in which members say they want to get to the bottom of the facts.
Oh, and since the Bush crime family keeps changing its story and pleading the fifth, the facts are only going to come out if a public hearing was sworn testimony. Why not? You know, if you're telling the truth, you have no reason to hide. Oh, my God. And what's with all the Kleeglite references all of a sudden? I've never heard of Kleeglites referred to before Tony Snow and Dana Perino said that Karl Rove didn't want to go in front of them. Maybe they make his bald spot too shiny? Or maybe they melt the plasticine mask off his face, revealing the lizard scales underneath? Who knows? But that's apparently the main reason Rove and Myers don't want to testify under oath before Congress. It's the Kleeglites! Oh my God! We can't have Kleeglites! You know, like, maybe out in Hollywood they do that, you know, where all those left-wing liberals live. But, you know, this is the dignified White House and the Congress. And when we have interviews, we don't want any Kleeglites or anything like that, or any transcripts or any oath swearing. I mean, my God.
Oh, my God, like Kleeglites? I mean, have you ever seen that in the morning? Like, you get up in the morning and you're brushing your teeth. You go, oh, my God. Oh, gag me with my own toothbrush. I mean, jeez, I'm so grody looking. Oh, it's not even tubular. It's not even close to tubular. I just look so terrible under those bright lights. You know, they're like Kleeglites, but they're the big round ones in front of your makeup mirror. You know what I'm talking about? I had to go and change mine fluorescent ones because I had the pink ones, but the green ones were making me look really too sallow. So I can understand why Harriet Myers didn't want to go, because she's very short anyway. And, you know, she's got those dark, those raccoon thing going on. So Kleeglites, you know, they're really bad.
Tim from L.A. says, Mike, please don't speak, Valley. It reminds me of a nail scratching against a chalkboard. Me or Dana or the producer here. Oh, my God. They deny transcripts where it concerns the truthiness of what may be said in their toy hearing with these two pigs, Myers and Rove. And yet, they quote transcripts to their advantage. Well, of course. I mean, what is inconsistent about that? Absolutely nothing. That's what this filthy, corrupt administration does. So, somebody needs to tell me again why there is no decision to impeach this bastard. I'm talking about Cheney and his sock puppet, George Bush. It's just incredible. It makes it easy to do talk radio, but every single day. Remember the little dump last Friday night about the Gonzalez? Oh, oops, looks like Gonzalez was at this very important meeting in November where all these decisions were made. Ooh, well, that kind of contradicts what he said, which, ooh, makes him a liar. A freaking liar. It's not a contradiction. It's not forgetfulness. It's not, I have no recollection. It is lying. But then again, they lied us into a war. They lied to us about global climate change. They've lied to us about the economy. They've lied to us about the environment. They've lied to us about every single thing they have put their filthy hands on. So, how much longer before we get rid of them?
Dictatorship seem orderly. When one man makes all the decisions, there is no need for negotiation or compromise.
Ten before the hour. So Donald in Augusta, Georgia writes, Mike, the clip you played with the crazy lady saying this Bush crime family is being very accommodating, this just points out one very important thing, this administration's sense of entitlement. They actually think they are kings and lords and the rest of us peasants have to take what they give us. The idea that they have no respect for how our democratic republic works. I told my family and friends when this bastard stole the White House the first time, you don't steal to do good. I knew from day one these thugs were as corrupt as any in history. They have Al Capone beat. I ask people on a daily basis, why is anyone even remotely surprised about another criminal act being exposed? Imagine if we had a press that actually investigated this administration. Just think about that, Mike, and shudder when you do. What we do not know about the crimes this Bush family and his henchmen have committed? Scary, isn't it? Yeah, it is. Just think if we would not have had Republican whores in the House and the Senate for the past 6 years. Republican punks and thugs who, no offense to sex workers, who deliberately, consciously, conspiratorially covered up every single corrupt act this crime family committed. It's not just the Bushes. It's not just this filthy vampire Dick Cheney. It is every single Republican in Congress, both the House and the Senate, that has enabled these bastards to do what they've done. And quite a few Democrats, too, by the way. Let's not forget my favorite, second most favorite, all right, third most favorite, whipping boy, the Democratic Party. How many Democrats have gone along with this punk and this corruption and this fraud? How many, huh? Too many. Too many over the past 6 years. Every time I remember Tom Daschle or Dick Gephardt's voice when they're talking, well, now, you know, we really do believe that a president has a right to pick the kind of people that, you know, he wants in his cabinet. You know, we support the president in his right to do. Jesus, God. And it was right around that time when Bart Kopp started referring to them as pink tutu Democrats. And and rightly so. I love that term. Not that there's anything wrong with being a ballet dancer. God, you have to watch everything you say, don't you? All right, we're coming up on a break here, and when we come back, we are going to do phone calls. If you didn't read the editorial, I think lead editorial, The President's Prison in the New York Times, I believe it was today, you need to go to the Times and read it, because it involves this pig, Gonzalez. It just starts by saying, Bush does not want to be rescued. The president has been told countless times by a Secretary of State, by members of Congress, by heads of friendly governments, and by the American public that the Guantanamo Bay detention camp has profoundly damaged this nation's credibility as a champion of justice and human rights. But Mr. Bush ignored those voices, and now it seems he has done the same to his new defense secretary, Robert Gates, the man Bush brought in to clean up Rumsfeld's mess. He said the camp should be shut, and the inmates who should stand trial should be brought to the United States and taken to real military courts. Bush rejected that sound advice, heeding instead the chief enablers of his worst instincts, Vice President Dick Cheney and Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Yeah, that's how bad it is. Mr. Bush and his inner circle are clearly afraid that if Guantanamo detainees are tried under the actual rule of law, many of the cases will collapse because they are based on illegal detentions, torture, abuse, or that American officials, here it comes, could someday be held criminally liable for their mistreatment of detainees. It was distressing to see that the president has retreated so far into his alternative reality that he would not listen to Mr. Gates, even when he was backed by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, who, like her predecessor Colin Powell, had urged Bush to close Guantanamo. And then it goes on about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. For all it says, if Mr. Bush would not listen to reason from inside his cabinet, he might at least listen to what Americans are telling him about the damage to this country's credibility and its cost. When Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, for all appearances a truly evil and dangerous man, confessed to a long list of heinous crimes, including planning the 9/11 attacks, many Americans reacted with skepticism and even derision. The confession became the butt of editorial cartoons, like one that showed the prisoner confessing to betting on the Cincinnati Reds, and fodder for late-night comedies. The hearing was a combatant status review tribunal, a process that is supposed to determine whether a prisoner is an illegal enemy combatant and thus not entitled, in Mr. Bush's world, to rudimentary legal rights. But the tribunals are kangaroo courts, admitting evidence that was coerced or obtained through abuse or outright torture. They are intended to confirm a decision that was already made. And it goes on. You can get this near NYTimes.com. What they're describing is the way the Soviet Union's so-called criminal justice system worked from 1917 all the way to the collapse of the entire filthy enterprise. That's what this is about. That's what the Bush crime family does. You're guilty. Now let me build the case. Oh, by the way, you can't question witnesses. You can't see the evidence that we have in front of you. There's no such thing as habeas corpus. You have no rights. And by Christ in heaven, we will torture you. We will torture you to get you to say what we want you to say. This is insane. I mean, honest to God, this is insane. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. Last night, we watched at home the DVD of the Dixie Chicks film, the documentary, Shut Up and Sing. Thanks to our good friend Daryl in Alabama over at democracyinteractive.com, democracyinteractive.com, who sent us 3 copies of this DVD, and he said, you know, 1 for you and 2 to give away. So at some point this week, we are going to have another one of our stupid little contests and give 2 of these movies away. Now, the woman who directed these is the same woman, Academy Award winner. I'm drawing a blank on her name right now. She did Harlan County, USA. So for those of you who remember that movie from way back in, what, the 80s, you will like this. But this is a feel-good movie. To watch Natalie Maines and her 2 partners in these candid moments, going through this whole thing, going all the way back to 2003 when they made the infamous, or in my mind, famous statement in when they were on tour in the UK, that they were ashamed to be from the same state as Bush, all the way through their total redemption and how their career just teetered and tilted. But, you know, this is this is one of the biggest selling groups in the history of pop music now. And if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. There's a couple of points in this film where you just get tears in your eyes. You want to stand up and cheer. You know, like the old feel good movies when you were younger. You remember that, right? Huh? You just want to stand up and cheer and scream and stomp your feet and yell about the Dixie Chicks. I mean, what a band to begin with. And I've got to plead absolute stupidity and ignorance. I've heard a few of their songs. I know about the controversy. I used to know people in the Marshall Tucker band, and when Marshall Tucker decided to give a free concert when these women went to Columbia, South Carolina, to perform, and I sent an email to Marshall Tucker's manager, and she wrote back and said, "No, come on, yada yada." So I've been following this thing, and I have heard some of the Dixie Chicks music, but I had no idea of the personality of these 3 women. And one of the long, lengthy scenes is the birth of, which one had the twins, Kathy? The 2 of them have twins now? They have 7 children between the 3 of them. Real communist left-wing bastards, you know, just scum. No family values at all, right? You know, they're all married, and they have children, and... But anyway, we will be giving away 2 of these DVDs that were sent to us, Daryl at democracyinteractive.com. And Daryl, thank you. That was a nice break last night to kick back with a bottle of wine and watch the Dixie Chicks in this movie and just yell and stomp and clap. You know, just Kathy and me. I'm afraid we're going to wake Molly up.
No, I just had an idea about a giveaway contest for Friday. If people will email us, one of us or both of us, preferably me, so not to hassle you, and we're going to choose the best nickname for Dana Perino, because all White House spokes geeks need one. You know, we had Ari the pencil right. neck geek, and we had Simple Scotty McClellan,
right.
And then we have Tony Foxy the Snowman,
who had surgery today.
Yeah. I'm sure he's okay. So we need a nickname for Dana Perino.
Is this going to be our contest?
What do you think? And we'll give away. Let's do one this week, and we'll come up with something for next week.
Come on, space it out.
Nova M subscribers, come on, man.
We're going to give away
one this week and one next week.
All right. Well,
so
we'll,
Friday night. All right. My email at malloyproducer@aol.com.
Oh my God, I've already gotten 2. No, don't send them now.
No, send them to Kathy, malloyproducer@aol.com, and just put something in the subject line: Dana nickname. Something like that, so I'll know not to delete it. And we'll pick the best
Dana
Perino. Well, it has to be broadcastable.
Okay.
Broadcastable.
So it does have to be clean.
Yeah. Some, you know, okay. We don't want to get an FCC fine in the middle of our lovely contest. But and we'll read them off on,
all right, that's,
on
that's,
Friday, and we'll give away the best one.
That sounds like a, like an excellent idea. And again,
like it's so radical, it's tubular.
Again, thanks to Daryl in Alabama who made all this possible. We love you, Daryl. Thank you. All right. I there's just a couple of more sentences here from the president's prison, the editorial in the Times that I have to share with you, and then we're going to your phone calls. The editorial goes on. They're talking about torture and the confessions of Sheikh or Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And it says the omissions from the record of Mr. Muhammad's hearing were chilling. The United States government deleted his claims to have been tortured during years of illegal detention at camps run by the CIA. Government officials who are opposed to the administration's lawless policy on prisoners have said in numerous news reports that Mr. Muhammad was indeed tortured, including through waterboarding, which simulates drowning and violates every civilized standard of behavior toward a prisoner, even one as awful as this one. And he is hardly the only prisoner who has made claims of abuse and torture. Still, the Bush administration says no prisoner should be allowed to take torture claims to court, including the innocents who were tortured and released. The administration's argument is that how prisoners are treated is a state secret and cannot be discussed openly. If that sounds nonsensical, it is. It's also not the real reason behind the administration's denying these prisoners the most basic rights of due process. The Bush administration has so badly subverted American norms of justice in handling these cases that they would not stand up to scrutiny in a real court of law. It is a clear case of justice denied. Now, this is what just infuriates me. It makes the bile rise up in my throat. It makes me wonder what the hell has happened. Is there no power within the House and the Senate, even these filthy, contemptible Republicans, to put a stop to this? It's incredible. It's incredible. How prisoners are treated is a state secret. This is Khrushchev. This is Brezhnev. This is Stalin. This is Molotov. This is every scummy, filthy Soviet leader from 1917 all the way up to Gorbachev who perpetrated and allowed and committed these kinds of acts. Oh, my God. It's incredible. Just incredible. So, if you get a chance, check out the editorial in the Times. Let's go to your phone calls, if we may. Let's start with Joe, who's calling from Miami. Joe, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the program. Hey, Joe.
Hey, oh, sorry, Mike.
That's all right.
How you doing? How's it going today? Listen, did you see Gonzo on Hardball today with Pete Williams' interview?
I didn't see it on Hardball. I saw a little tiny bit of it on the NBC Nightly News.
If you got a chance, this guy doesn't know which end is up. He's going every which way. If it wasn't so serious, it'd be funny. But you hit a point, though, Mike. What we got a problem. We got a numbers count in the Senate, which is hurting us. And what the Democrats got to do, Democrats got to call Republican senators and pound on them about this. Because that's the only way we're going to get these guys impeached. Like, you take Spector. And on Thursday, he was kind of, like, defending him.
Uh-huh.
And do you notice over the weekend, all of a sudden, he started saying, Gonzalez's got to go?
But Arlen Spector has always been suspect. About his Republican Party credentials, suspect. Don't forget, the Republicans tried to defeat him in the primary.
Right.
Couple of years ago. Hold on just a second, Joe.
Sure.
I've got to take a break here. We'll
sure.
come back and finish up. Stay with us. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy.
obviously killing Americans, but they're killing a lot more Iraqis.
They're becoming my new favorite group. I can't believe that I let this just go completely by. They've been around since late 80s, haven't they? Yeah, they've got an 18-year history. I don't think Natalie Maines joined them until the past 6 or 7 years, but my God, we were talking with Joe in Miami. Okay, Joe, I'm sorry, where were we?
That's okay, Mike. You know, also another guy, Hagel. Of Nebraska, he gave an excellent interview with Stephanopoulos on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the guy's right wing as far as domestic stuff goes,
right.
But the guy fought for the country. And like I said, he knows what the hell is going on. And I think it makes a difference with some of these Republican senators, because no other way we're going to get things done unless we pull, like you said, 15 of them over. And we need Democrats to do this.
Well, there's 23 Republicans in the Senate who are up for re-election in
exactly
08,
right.
And I think if anyone's serious about getting rid of Bush, and I'm beginning to think they're not, a lot of people say no, just leave him there, let the corruption continue to develop, so that the Democratic Party does have a lock on the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office come 08. And to that I say, that's BS. That's crap. That's absolute crap.
We can't afford this guy for 2 more years.
Well, not only that, but I've said it before, and I think anyone with an ounce of sense knows this. It's not up to Pelosi or Reid. It's up to the Constitution. The Constitution is clear.
Exactly.
About the action that I don't know if it says must be taken, but should be taken when a regime that is this corrupt, this tremendous violation of the law comes into power. They need to be removed.
You're
It's not up to Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid or any filthy Republican. It's up to the Constitution. But who respects the Constitution anymore, Joe?
Mike, if you can, if you have an 800 number for the Congress, I'd appreciate you broadcasting sometime during the show.
I'll do it. So at some point, we'll get it.
I've
had
a lot,
it a
buddy.
Million times.
Thanks,
Joe. Appreciate it. Actually, you can go to C-SPAN and get that number. C-SPAN.org. It's hard for me to keep my own phone number at hand. Scott is calling from Utah. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
You know, there's clear grounds for impeachment here. The Constitution and the treaties made are the supreme law of the land, according to the Constitution. A hidden law slips into the Patriot Act by Arlen Specter does not supersede the power of the Constitution. If the powers that be wanted otherwise, they need to amend the Constitution.
Yeah.
So presidential appointees still need to be ratified by Congress. Bush, Cheney, Gonzalez, all those guys took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. And here's a clear instance of them working to subvert it.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And as far as I'm concerned, all the congressmen who voted to ratify the Patriot Act without reading it are not worthy of their offices, and they should be removed.
Yeah, well, you you get no argument from me in what you're saying at all. Nothing. No argument. I agree with you 100%. Scott, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Oh, my goodness. I get an email here from Kay. She says, when are you coming back to talk radio? Was so looking forward to hearing your remarks after the election. My sister and I cannot stand this current corrupt administration. And it's going to be a long 2 years. Mike, you're one of the best, and I also love Bill Maher. Don't give up, ever. Kay, I'm going to send her an email and say, oh my God. This is at rawstory.com. Dr. Dolph sent it to me. The Pentagon today confirmed that a terrorist suspect has been transferred from Kenya to Guantanamo Bay during the weekend, according to the Associated Press. Defense Department spokesman Brian Whitman told the AP that, quote, due to the significant threat this terrorist suspect represents, he's been transferred to Guantanamo, end quote. Whitman was referring to Abdul Malik, who is said to have admitted to involvement in attempted attacks against an Israeli-owned hotel and an LL airliner in 2002. Malik is the first new detainee at Guantanamo since September 2004. I just have one question. I've read the whole article. He's accused of attempted attacks against Israel? Then why is he not in an Israeli prison?
Gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Have we become the new outsourcers of torture? The Israelis have transferred to us this guy, Abdul Malik, who is said to have admitted to involvement in attempted attacks against an Israeli-owned hotel and an LL airliner in 2002. He's the first new Guantanamo Bay detainee since September 2004. And this is interesting. According to, Raw Story, the report came shortly after the Bush administration officials made known Defense Secretary Robert Gates' desire to have Guantanamo Bay closed. Tom Shanker, of course, writing in the New York Times on Friday, said Gates' appeal was an effort to turn Mr. Bush's publicly stated desire to close Guantanamo into a specific plan for action. Publicly stated desire, my ass. In particular, Mr. Gates urged that trials of terrorism suspects be moved to the United States. Gates confirmed to the Times that he was still, quote, wrestling, end quote, with particular issues he had raised with the president in his unsuccessful bid to close the facility. Wouldn't you like to see Gates resign? Of course, Gates was involved in the cover-up of the Iran-Contra affair. All of these people are retreads. Gates certainly is not coming at this from a standpoint of ethical or moral behavior on the part of the United States. He's coming at it, I'm sure, from a political point of view that maybe the time will come, or a criminal point of view, the time will come when, as the Secretary of Defense, and these so-called trials are being conducted by the military, the time may come when Robert Gates will be faced with international warrants for his arrest to face war crimes trials someplace on this planet. So I would imagine that's what his interest is in getting them stopped. He is certainly amoral where it concerns this sort of thing. This guy was well aware of what Negroponte and the rest of these rat bastards were doing in Central America in the 80s with, I might add, the help of the Israelis. So I can't get my mind around it. The Israelis are perfectly capable, as they've proved over and over and over again, of torturing their own prisoners. What the hell are they doing outsourcing them to us? The Israelis have torture facilities equal to or exceeding ours. Where do you think the hell we learned? Who do you think taught U.S. military, the CIA, how to conduct torture? The Israelis. And that's not, don't send me the standard emails about, I'm an anti-Semite. No, I'm not. I'm talking about a sovereign government. Several of them. Netanyahu, who else? Sharon. Is Sharon still alive? I think he is, isn't he? Is he still in a coma? Oh, my God. There have been several Israeli governments. It's no secret, unless you want it to be. If you want it to be a secret, the number of Palestinians and other people have been tortured. The number they have tortured their own people, just like we have. You know, it's not a surprise. What is a surprise is that they're sending someone over here to be tortured. The Israelis know how to torture. They absolutely know how to torture. And they do it. Oh, well. Back to your phone calls. Ron is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, Ron.
Hello, Stan Poor. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Well, it's good to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time.
Okay.
How dickens are you?
I'm fine.
All right. Well, let me clear
okay,
the
listen,
frog out of my throat.
No, I'll tell you what. We'll talk again sometime, Ron. Get your act together before you come on this program. Don't make an ass out of yourself, okay? I don't know if you're trying to be cornball, humorish, or whatever you're trying to be, but I don't like it, okay? John is calling from Santa Clara. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
On fire tonight, doing a great job. I don't think I've ever seen you sharper, actually, especially in the first hour. Just amazing. Fluidity. Want to talk about Bush crime family, to the mentors a little bit, touched on it a little bit. They, in their quest for empire, have, I think, offed people like Hussein and Lay. And I'm also relating this to Kissinger, the weird AP story that surfaced earlier this week about the possible extradition of Mr. Kissinger.
Mm.
In his Operation Condor, his complicity in Operation Condor in Uruguay.
Right.
I don't know if you've been following this story, but I didn't know the story had real legs. He'd actually just missed a judge ordered his him for at least in Paris, where he was staying in Paris prior to 9/11. And by the way, the dates are eerie. The 28th anniversary of this September 11th, 01, by the way, of the Pinochet.
Yeah, I knew that. That coincidence was remarkable when Allende was murdered, I think.
Allende upended, exactly. And I'm just thinking to myself, while you were brilliantly talking there, I thought the first hour and a half, about the crimes of this scum family of Bushes was mentored by Nixon, and the Kissinger is still in the background, as you know.
Oh, he is. Of course, he's been in the background for about 700 years. Kissinger is another one of these ghouls that just keeps popping up. It's my understanding that there are several, if not more than several, countries that if Kissinger sets foot inside those countries, and the authorities find out about it, they'll arrest his ass. They don't care about Kissinger. They see him as a war criminal. In this country, he's seen as you point out, one of the mentors or one of the consigliers of this corrupt family. But Kissinger is as corrupt as any politician in the history of this republic, and that's really saying something.
He lives up the Kissinger Institute is very close to my hometown in Connecticut, in Kent, Connecticut, and he lives in suburban splendor up there, but you're right. May 31st, 01, a French judge named Roger Le Loret or something requested a summons served on Kissinger. He was staying at the Hotel Ritz in Paris for his involvement in this Operation Condor, which has got a 13 on BuzzFlash. That's about, I think, their highest rating for a story is 15.
Mm.
So it was like a four-alarm thing. So I find it very interesting that Kissinger was almost picked also for, as you know, the 9/11 commission to head the whole thing, too, by the way.
Oh, sure. Until he said no, he wouldn't do it because the people who were going to be on that commission had to reveal all of their clients and their connections and yada, yada. And once Kissinger realized he'd have to reveal that he's involved with death squads all over the planet. He's involved with corruption and graft and murder and mayhem all over the planet. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. It's well known, and anybody who doesn't know this is a damn fool, that Kissinger is one of the premier murderers of the 20th century, and
no
now
doubt.
The 21st. It's just unbelievable. Kissinger is responsible directly for probably 35,000 of the 58,000 Americans who died in Vietnam, and possibly another million of Vietnamese who died in that conflict, because the son of a bitch way back in 68, when Kissinger, I believe it was 68, when Kissinger first sat down with the North Vietnamese to start talking about a peace agreement, and these rat bastards couldn't even decide on the shape of the table. I mean, Kissinger,
right.
Kissinger is drenched in blood.
According to Bob Woodward, another guy who's resurfaced in the news, final days, which yours truly is, I was in an event, the Nixon protest mentioned on page 167, by the way, but in his, I thought it was a pretty good book, Final Days, which is 30 years old now, if you want to feel old, Kissinger is quoted as saying military men are, quote, just dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in foreign policy.
We've used that quote on this program.
Do you guys use that? Okay.
Yeah, Kissinger doesn't give a damn. He's another one that doesn't care about human life. That's why, when the Republicans try to paint themselves as pro-life, no, they're not. They might be pro-fetus or pro-zygote, but they're not pro-life. They are murderers, killers, drinkers of blood, eaters of human flesh.
And, it's obvious.
Oh, it's horrifying. It's horrifying.
Mike, the congressional 1-800 number is 1-800-614-2803. A guy called in from
Miami, Joe.
Florida.
Say it again.
1-800-614-2803.
All right, Prez. Thanks.
You bet. Thank you.
I mean, John. I'm sorry.
I'm John. Santa Clara.
John. Thanks. Take care. All right. Now we're going to talk to Prez, who's calling from San Francisco. Hey, Prez.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Listen, I got a couple points. You know, it's Spain and Portugal. Kissinger cannot show up there. I'd be arrested because of the Pinochet thing. And also, he's also responsible for the bloodshed in East Timor as well.
Yes, he is.
Which Amy Goodman got bloodied in. That was her first gig way back then.
I'll be damned.
The wonderful Amy. She got almost beat to death, I believe. Also, something about the Israelis.
Prez, hold on a second. I got to take a break.
Okay,
stay right there. We'll come back after the break. Nights. That's where it is. It's about 9 before the hour. Thanks to our crew, Ian Huff, who engineered and co-produced the program out of Phoenix, KPHX. Thank you, Ian. He also answered your calls. Our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, and the moderators at MikeMalloy.com on the message board. Also, if you haven't been there yet, please go to NovaMRadio.com and sign up. And in addition to all the great things you get from being a founding member, you also have a shot at that 10 grand. But we have to get to 5,000 first. So there's always a catch, right? And if you are interested in a Dixie Chick movie, Shut Up and Sing, the DVD, send an email to malloyproducer@aol.com. Malloy Producer. Don't send it to me. Malloyproducer@aol.com with a nickname for the temporary White House spokes Valley Girl, Dana Perino. And we'll pick the best one and announce the winner on Friday night. And that is thanks to Daryl in Alabama, who sent me three of them. Thank you, Daryl. You're a prince. Shorty is calling. I'm sorry. No. Back to Prez in San Francisco. Prez, thanks for holding on.
Hey, now, no problem.
Where were we?
You've had really a banner evening Thursday or Friday last week. I've got to say it was the best I've ever heard you. I really love having you on the air.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that a lot. Thank
they
you.
They took Randy Rhodes away from us here on the quake in San Francisco. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to her. And they got, I don't want to say any names, but I think we've been through this before. You know, I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think I do.
Yeah. Anyway, at least he's our blowhard. I want to say something. I was in Vietnam in 67 and 68.
Oh, God.
And Kissinger made me think of this. You know, we knew in the Tet Offensive it was over with.
Right.
And also, you know, at least twice, I believe, who was it? The Vietnamese, North Vietnamese guy, not General Gap, but the, what was the political leader's name? I can't remember.
I know who you mean.
Anyway, he begged us, Eisenhower, I think, or it was JFK, twice. Please, I want to have a democracy. My people want democracy. Please help us.
Right.
Oh, no. Oh, no, we've got to come kill you instead. Anyway, I just wanted to say that about Kissinger. The Israelis, we learned how to do checkpoints and handle refugees and get people displaced so they have no power whatsoever. We were learning from the Israelis, our checkpoints in Iraq and everything. They've been our teachers. And I think they're going to see it's going to be our master's thesis now with this guy. He's probably a star coming from Kenya or wherever he came from.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to say something about the Democrats. And
okay.
I'm going to be quick about it. Okay, I know we don't have much time.
Go ahead.
Their inaction before they were in power and not having I was on the phone for 3 days about Alito and Roberts,
uh-huh.
asking them, why don't you filibuster? What are you waiting for? And they said, nuclear option, one person said. And I said, why not call their bluff? You know, make them do the nuclear option, change the rules, and have the American people see it at least.
Right.
But I think now they're complicit, I believe, especially with Feinstein and her husband, our construction projects, the four giant bases we have in Iraq, which nobody seems to talk about, and they know they're there. Maybe they want the oil. Maybe they want the permanent bases. Why don't they just come out and say it? Or maybe they're afraid of anthrax or plane crashes, or they're being blackmailed.
Well,
I can't figure it out. It's really, I'm at a complete loss, and I'm really in a funk and a malaise about it. It's like, why? What are they waiting for? Or are they just complicit?
I sometimes think it's political cowardice, nothing more and nothing
really?
Less. Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't know why some of the Democrats who understand and know what's going on and
yeah.
know what the overall plan is, why they don't. Maybe it's because they're afraid they'll be accused of being in on it. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, but, see, that's kind of what I'm doing. So. I mean, that's the natural progression of a thinking person's thoughts, don't you think? I mean, what about, and they have such juicy subjects, habeas corpus and torture, just those two right there.
It's astonishing, I know.
It is. It's just, oh boy, I'll tell you. It's almost too much sometimes.
Did you ever think that you would live in an era in this country when we would be talking about this, that habeas corpus no longer applies, that torture is now an official policy? I mean, you and I are not stupid enough to believe that the CIA over the past 70 years never engaged in torture, but it was always quiet, hushed up, nobody talked about it. Now it's just right out in the open, just official policy.
I know. And what about, they say, Gonzalez, well, they lied, but they weren't under oath. Well, listen, any public official that lies, that's a problem right there as far as I'm concerned.
Well, didn't they take an oath to begin with?
Yeah. Gonzalez in particular, especially.
Yeah.
He's an officer of the court.
It's incredible what has happened.
Well, you know, most of these kids, I took a poli-sci class last semester, and I was talking to my class about Vietnam. I had to.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are born when Reagan was already in power. They don't know what things used to be like when it used to be kind of like a Republican democracy almost.
I know.
They just don't know. And I think it's not their fault. Information is getting harder and harder to find. Even if you want to find it, it's getting harder and harder.
Well, that's the scary part, what you just pointed out. There is a whole generation that has no earthly idea.
No.
of what it was like that has either by direct infusion or osmosis, they've had their brains warped by people like Limbaugh and Hannity. Even if you try to stay away from it, you still are hit with it, whether you watch television or listen to radio.
And that
concerns me.
And I remember my American history teacher when JFK got shot. He cried. He cried in front of the class. I remember that day, and I'm sure you do too.
Oh yeah, I do. Hey, listen, got to leave it there. Thanks
a
lot.
Okay, buddy. Thanks a lot. You guys keep up the good work. Okay.
All right, Prez. Thanks. All right. Take care. Take care. Tomorrow night, hopefully, Brad Friedman of BradBlog will visit with us for a while to talk about the link between the attorney firings in the 2008 election. Oh, God. Listen, thanks for participating tonight. However you did that, I do appreciate it. Take care, all right? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.